Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Top five teams, and these are our power conference teams that have the most portal entries so far. I don't know what this means. I just found it interesting that things are different. And look, Colorado is on this list, and they've added a couple more. So if something's happened since I sent this to Emery at noon today, I'm sorry. But as of the first day in the first 24 hours, this is what they had. Number five, Arkansas had four. And I also graded some of this. Some other, like, Texas also had four, and they might have five or six now. But Texas has not lost a single player that their fans are worried about. Like, they're all guys who went through the spring, didn't move up on the depth chart, and are moving on. So Arkansas, although has lost a couple of guys, they might get a couple of guys back. But in a make-or-break season for Sam Pittman, they got lost four in the first day, which I thought was actually a little low given what was happening there. But Arkansas lost four in the first day.
You know, it sounds like the fans who also, when they lose somebody at the last second who signs with somebody else, well, we didn't need him. But you're right. There are some that, yeah, they're gonna, you got to have attrition. You're over the limit, literally, with the 85 scholarships and incoming transfers, too. You got to kind of balance it off.
Yeah. Number four, tied with Arkansas, is A&M. They have four, and they have two of theirs. And the reason I put them on this list, it was very interesting. Two of theirs were the guys who fit into a category that Brandon Marcello actually added to Bud Elliott's tweet of guys who transferred into a program in December, didn't hear their name enough, and then are trying to capitalize on that buzz again as they go back out. But two of their four are those guys, and then the other two are guys that you'd recognize, one of them being Jacoby Matthews, who's going to be very highly sought after in the portal as a safety and has some big teams after him already. But A&M's kind of an interesting split between theirs. Also, Louisville's not on this list because only one player from Louisville has actually officially entered the portal at this point.
Remember the Brandon Marcello tweet? Yeah. And then he came back and said, man, guys, I screwed this up. It's my fault. He owned it.
Now, Penny Boone's going to.
Well, he thought he had mentioned the offensive lineman.
Yeah. But yeah, only one has officially done it yet, so maybe the Louisville collective is making a push now to keep some of those guys, but Louisville's not on the list. But A&M at four is an interesting one. And they brought in a lot, and they're going to continue to try to bring in some more. But four spots opened up for A&M in the first window, and two of those were guys that they brought in December. Number three, Miami at five. This is, you mentioned Ja'Kari Brown earlier. Henry Parrish is one of these guys as well. He was their starting running back last year. It appears he's going back to Ole Miss where he started his mm-hmm. career. That's kind of headed in that direction. Miami is just interesting in that there's five guys. The guy they thought was going to be the backup quarterback amongst them is interesting to me in that they're going to be probably more aggressive than they have in the past, given that they've got Cam Ward. So this feels to me like Miami is doing a bit of a clean out so they can go get the wide receiver and running back that they particularly need.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really have anything to add to this.
It's fine.
I mean, Ja'Kari Brown, I mean, he wasn't going to start. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. It's kind of like we talked about earlier. I don't know why Uncle Luke was so adamant about his displeasure with that. But
maybe personal.
He's a super fan. And, yeah, probably he is personal. Like coaching, very personal. Yeah.
He coaches a lot of those 7-on-7 Miami teams guys, and things like that.
Yeah, so he's got a friendship or a different type of relationship than just your typical fan, but he is a super fan. But yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of taking it in because it's so
It's not really quantifiable,
right? You know, yeah, like in some ways. But it is interesting to keep track of who's losing in order to gain, really, in the long term, or if they're losing because like there's a hole that needs to be plugged. And I think in Miami's case, it's good attrition. A&M's case, it's good attrition. Who'd you mention at first?
Arkansas.
You know, probably good attrition. So yeah, there we are with that.
Yeah. And here's the, and look, I probably just could have done a segment on just these two. Cause it's interesting to me cause it's different in both ways. Number two is UCF. They've lost six players, so far in the early window. One of them, actually Josh, I'm going to say his name wrong. Seliskar, is going to A&M. They've lost, well, maybe more than that now that I'm looking at this. So there's one more, but six or seven guys, and most of them are veteran guys who were somewhere else and transferred in. One of them, Goldie Lawrence, fits in that category. If he transferred in, didn't get the kind of playing time he wanted. He was at FSU before, and now he's transferring out. And then Timmy McClain trying to go find a place where he could start at quarterback. But UCF has six, and I think part of this is them figuring out like, oh, well, you had some guys that just missed here and that's going to be that. But it is strange to me that a team that I think has such an upward trajectory had so many departures on day one.
I think that's good. I just feel like maybe they need to clear a little bit out themselves. They're doing fine.
Yeah.
They're doing fine.
Some of these are clear outs. It's weird, but that was a big number for UCF on day one. And of course the biggest number so far by a long
put an
shot.
Asterisk next to this one because it's changing in any minute.
Yeah. Because there were a couple more that happened today. Actually, three more since I did it. So right now I think it's 13. Is Colorado, who was at 10 this morning, already at 13. And this is a team that was completely built through the portal anyway. And they're going to have to go find 13 more guys. You've got Shadur and Shiloh out there trying to recruit players as well. I'm not sure that Deion's not going to have to revamp his team building strategy in a hurry. I know he's trying to make it look legitimate at Colorado as fast as he can, but when you've got so many guys going in and out in 2 years, I don't know how you build any continuity and consistency.
Yeah, I don't either. I think if you're doing double digits in the transfer portal, that's probably not a good sign. That's too many guys that you're having to replace. Now, granted, with their needs at offensive line and in other spots, but particularly offensive line, I mean, you could see a big turnover coming, but that I don't think you can just do 10 year in and year out and think that you're probably operating at a very healthy level. Obviously, he's not totally happy with some of the bunch, and you see the messaging from his sons last night in that social media post about, you know, this ain't last chance you, but if you're interested, like, contact us. We'll see how that works out, man. As we ramp up, it's going to be fun to start including them more in the actual conversation about the conference and what all that's going to look like. But Deion on year two is going to be must-see TV until it isn't. And it was for, I don't know, about 3 weeks to a month last year, and then it was just sort of hit or miss after that. Obviously, a lot of eyes, a lot of pressure. But it does feel like something's just sort of out of whack with the whole handling of the roster. And if we're wrong, you know, I'll eat those words, but it just seems like there's a bit too much attrition. And then again, maybe that's a good thing because maybe there were some guys thinking they were just going to come on board, and it was going to be a TV show, and it was going to be, you know, fun and games. And clearly that's not what they're in need of if they want to win more games this season. So we'll see. Maybe it's a needed attitude adjustment, or maybe it's a sign that there is a leak in the USS Sanders.
I just saw this note, Craig. Thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate it. The top five with the most that have left, and that changes by the end of the day. Mikel Harrison Pilot, who went to Temple High School, went to Houston, has entered the transfer portal. It's a local name. Just saw that note.
He was there, what, like a year?
Yep. He and
was a four-star,
who's
I think,
the young man
out of
from
high school.
Has been so good? The kid from Temple that's a captain now?
Torian York.
Torian York. They were teammates at Temple High School.
Well, I think TCU maybe was after him. Baylor was after him. I could see where Baylor
A&M was after him.
Yeah,
too.
I don't know where he would exactly fit right now, but I definitely think those schools could potentially come calling again. But yeah, that was not a very long stint at U of H. But you got a new coach, Willie Fritz, doing things his own way. Maybe that's a part of it. I don't know, but yeah, that'll be an interesting name to watch.
All right, thank you, Jack McKenzie. Emery Winters dialing up 365 Sports tonight at 10:30 on the local CW. We're back at it again tomorrow. Max Olson will be a part of the show. Chris Hummer will be a part of the show, and that means we'll talk more about whatever the latest news is when it comes to college football and also the transfer portal. For Paul Catalina, for Craig Smoak, for you, those who watch and listen or both, we appreciate you. 365 Sports, Sikkim 365 app. Please, if you don't mind, hit the like and subscribe button when you do join us and spread the word. I'm David Smoak. Good night.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.